A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We all talk about the madness WWE got up to during the Attitude Era, but what about the time we moved forward and enjoyed ruthless aggression? Widely regarded as the next phase, you would think things switched around to establish that we were moving on to pastures new. Nope, and in fact, some of what we did was even more nuts. So please do brace yourself, my friends, because yeah, this is the 10 most infamous WWE Ruthless Aggression Era controversies. Number 10, the Billy and Chuck wedding. This should have been a moment in time. It would have been better if we did it with two homosexual men to underline that it's perfectly fine for two males to be in love and get married, but this is what we had. If nothing else, it would be a fine message to send out to an audience. And then WWE went the other way entirely. For those that don't know, Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo did join forces in November 2001, with the idea being there was every chance they were gay. This was heavily insinuated without being outright said, but to get this across, they were overly flamboyant and wore pink. I mean, that was silly. We don't need to lean on stereotypes. The thing is, the company even reached out to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to consult on this storyline, so there was a little bit of confidence. Maybe this was going to be a proper finger flip to bigots across the land. GLAAD, as they're also known, admitted that WWE had promised to air the Billy and Chuck wedding too, which really did have some intrigue behind it, when we flipped that switch. Because even though for weeks we did advertise that they were going to tie the knot, it turned out this was a publicity stunt, with Billy being scripted to say, "We're not gay," as if this was a terrible thing. It is really not cool at all. Thankfully, we would never do this sort of thing today, but here's the kicker. We shouldn't have been doing it then either. Number 9, the Katie Vick angle. I mean, where on earth do I begin? If you know, you can just stare off into the distance for a while and cry, and if you don't, well, I suppose I'm going to have to tell you. Make sure you're sitting down. In the fall of 2002, we learned that Kane had killed a woman. Yep, this was after Triple H had accused him of being a murderer on Raw, and in a bid to explain himself, the Big Red Machine admitted his pal Katie Vick was dead, but it was because he was driving a car that he wasn't used to and crashed. He survived, she was dead. What on earth are we doing? Hunter then pushed this boat out by telling Kane he had been drinking behind the wheel, and that's why it happened, and that when doctors did an autopsy, they found the masked man's semen in her body. I am not making any of this up. This then turned into some awful unrequited love storyline. To try and get one over Kane, Triple H did indeed sneak into a funeral parlor and pretended to hump a corpse. Don't know how else to explain it. The absolute worst bit being this was a real place with an actual funeral going on in the next room. The vision of Trips doing this is burned into anybody's brain who watched it live, and I tell ya, I took a break from wrestling after this. You will be stunned to hear I had no interest watching a man have fake sex with a mannequin that was meant to be a deceased human. I mean, who the hell could have ever have called that one? Number 8, Muhammad Hassan. We are getting into it now, and I'm crying again. It's just a question of taste mostly, although once again, WWE actually acted like they had a nuanced idea at the start of this. The world had become a very worrying place after the 9/11 attacks, and the racism aimed at many Arab Americans was terrible. Therefore, why not have a character that calls out the nation for this stance and how it has to change? Yeah, cool. Right, I get that. Shine the mirror onto people's biases and let's see if we can't craft a very deep storyline. The problem, as ever, is that it is wrestling. So within weeks, Muhammad Hassan, who had been invented to carry this idea, was turned into the worst of all stereotypes. There's that word again. While Hassan was meant to be received as a persecuted figure, WWE was soon going back to the old foreign menace tropes, with the absolute worst part being, number 7, the worst angle ever. That's right, we bookend all of this because it feels like they deserve their own entries, And once again, I'll do my best to explain. Come 2005, the Hassan gimmick was full-on controversial and in bad taste, with nationalism and patriotism taking center stage. Vince McMahon then decided The Undertaker would be a great opponent for Muhammad to defend America, when Hassan and a group of masked men turned up on SmackDown and beat up the Phenom, and it was made out like it was a terrorist attack. Now, this would have been horrendous anyway, but the real shock to the system is the fact this happened just days after the London bombings. We are now talking next-level offensive. The backlash was loud and angry, as it should have been, and unsurprisingly, TV network UPN told the company to get this off the show instantly. I think at this stage, even WWE realized they screwed up, and poor Mark Carpani, who had been cast in this role, never wrestled again. It wasn't his fault, it was just doing what he was told. Either way, though, this was bottom-of-the-barrel nonsense. Number 6, Triple H vs. Booker T. It's only fair to say that Booker T has spoken out about this angle, and he gets to have the final say on this matter. He was in it, it was his story, so anything that comes out of my mouth moves into a lesser position. If we are talking about moments that left people reeling, though, you do have to throw it in there. And the major reason for this was because WWE decided to make it about race. Yep, I'm not going to get into how they approached this because, as ever, there was no nuance to it. And instead, we had lines that were meant to sound like Triple H and Ric Flair thinking a black man shouldn't be in the position of a world champion. It really was quite astonishing. To try and give some back and forth to this, Bruce Pritchard said on his podcast this was designed to bury WCW. But if that's the case, I'm not sure why we throw in lines like nappy hair. That, to me, feels abusive and rude. There was also the frequent use of the term you people, which turns my stomach, to be honest, but I tell ya. Even if this is what WWE wanted to do, there would have been a perfect out when we got to WrestleMania 19 and Booker T just whipped the game's ass. You're damn right. Teach the world that you can't be prejudiced without serious consequences. And then we got to that day and Triple H won. Ah, no. Even right now, I don't get why we did this other than silly backstage politics, because even if you do get rid of all of the above, at WrestleMania, just have the good guy go over. This wasn't cool. This wasn't cool at all.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Number 5, the Eddie Guerrero exploitation. Once again, I want to make it clear that people like Rey Mysterio have spoken out about this. They get the final say. We were just the watchers. As a fan viewing this, though, it did feel very uncomfortable after the tragic passing of Eddie Guerrero in November 2005, mostly because we kept on going back to it. I don't think anybody minded Rey Mysterio winning the 2006 Royal Rumble and dedicating it to Latino Heat. That was emotionally heartbreaking, but it was the other side that raised eyebrows. For example, given that Randy Orton was feuding with Mysterio at the time, he was scripted to say that Eddie was in hell. I mean, I now feel rotten having to repeat that, and let's be fair to Randy too. He told everyone backstage he didn't think this was right. What could he do? I suppose the best way to underline it is that we went too far into almost using Guerrero's passing to sell stories, as opposed as having them as a loving tribute. And sure, maybe Eddie would have wanted this, which was the constant defense, but many fans still felt like it was in bad taste. They didn't want to see it either way. The real sore spot was even though it was there to send Rey to the moon, WWE never really pushed him properly, and even when he was the champion, it was something of a damp squib. Just got beaten over and over again. Not really the greatest idea when you're fighting for the memory of a friend who is no longer with us. Number 4, the JBL character. Let's get it straight before we go on. JBL was a heat magnet. In 2004, I don't think anyone thought the former Bradshaw had this in him, but he made the necessary changes and became an awesome bad guy world champion on SmackDown. People hated him. When you jumped into the internet discussion, however, the controversy came in the fact that WWE had literally taken him from the APA and made him the guy from nowhere. That is true, and if you need an up-to-date version of this, it would be Jinder Mahal. Just one day woke up and boop, the guy who had been presented to us as no threat all of a sudden had a major title. It was jarring. I think the main reason JBL gets in here is because of the direction we went in. As he was feuding with Eddie Guerrero, Bradshaw headed to the Mexican border and basically shouted about immigrants in the most racist way possible. If you were indeed Latino yourself, this probably left your jaw on the floor. Kurt Angle addressed this on his podcast too and said something similar. He felt like Eddie could have spoken to management about this, but instead saw Guerrero use it to his advantage to get as much sympathy as possible. Again though, maybe we just stay away from this stuff. There really is no need. Number 3, Dr. Heine. Oh no. Let me just tell you the truth. Vince McMahon loved taking shots at Jim Ross on air. I don't know why, fans don't know why, not even JR knows why. He has spoken about this on his podcast. It just feels unnecessary and sometimes mean. It is a testament to Jim that he was able to basically shake this off and carry on regardless. But in 2005, when Ross underwent a colonoscopy, McMahon thought it was so funny, he was going to do a routine on Raw. Now, I don't know about you, but even before anything else, I don't want my boss telling people that I just had a colonoscopy. The skit itself was just bonkers too, as Vince dressed up as Dr. Heine before telling his scantily clad nurse friend to start removing massive objects out of JR's ass. I'm not even kidding, this went on for about 20 minutes. So not only did Ross have to sit through that, but his friends saw it, his family saw it, and if you were a fan tuning in, you got it too. Bruce Pritchard again has defended this, saying it was done out of love and respect, but I defer to Jim's late wife on this one. By all accounts, she was in tears after this, so once again, just don't do it. Number 2, the Chris Benoit double murder-suicide. I do not like talking about this. Maybe that makes me a coward, but it is up there as one of the worst moments in wrestling history, and another time where I just stopped watching for a while. Sports entertainment didn't feel that fun anymore. It does feel important to keep the conversation going out of respect for Nancy Benoit and son Daniel, though, because if nothing else, their memory should not be forgotten. Nancy, too, had an incredible career in pro wrestling. Deserves to have a spotlight shone on it. Nothing created as much controversy as this, though, as it went far outside the world of wrestling. Major news outlets everywhere were covering it, which soon turned into an accusation of steroid use, CTE, and all manner of issues. It was just horrendous. In case you don't know, the headlines are that Chris Benoit murdered his wife and son before taking his own life, and ever since the story has unraveled. The amount of drugs Chris was taking, the damage to his brain, the grief he had over the death of best friend Eddie Guerrero. I am certainly not saying any of these are excuses. It was just a narrative that continued to grow and expand. As the response to any mention of this is always, but he should still go into the Hall of Fame, I would just like to say, that is a mad reply. No matter what you did within a wrestling ring, it pales in comparison to such a needless and shocking tragedy. It shouldn't and will never happen. Number 1, the sad amount of deaths. This is the reason that modern day wrestling wins. Even if you think it was better way back when, during the ruthless aggression era especially, so many stars passed away too young, it almost became the norm. That should never be the case. A lot of it was due to the drug use that was prevalent at the time, which was one of the reasons Eddie Guerrero passed away. He had cleaned himself up by 2005, but ultimately the damage he had done to his body was way too much. Kurt Hennig was another, as was the likes of Crash Holly, Tense, and Lance Cade, but it was the statistics that really got people. The average life expectancy of a pro wrestler who starred in the United States across the 1980s and 1990s was below any other occupation in the land. As of 2015, the mortality rate was 2.9 times greater than the wider male population. Now, we all know that wrestling is an incredibly hard industry that does a number of those within it, but this was just too much. That's why it's so important we did clean things up. And when you look at it today, yeah, it all seems much better and healthier. You can't put a price on that. If you did enjoy that too, you will see that a video has just popped up for 10 times wrestling heels were secretly the baby phase, which will be much more fun than this list. But thanks for watching and goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.